All right, well, welcome to our Facebook Live, folks, and will you join me in Romans chapter 15? I want to begin with a question. How are you affected by a negative person? And I'm not talking about somebody who's just had a bad time. We're supposed to be able to share our troubles with people and have people listen and love us and care. But just someone who's kind of chronically negative all the time, how does that make you feel? How do you respond to that? Do you look at them and say, I want to be like them? Do you say, hey, they've got something I don't have and I want it? Or what if a person, and I'm not talking about just, again, not feeling like you can be honest with somebody and say, I'm having a terrible day, or you know, this some bad stuff's going on in my life and I need somebody to love me and listen to me. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about someone that kind of lives thinking that Murphy's Law is ruling their life and they become anxious and fearful. They're kind of waiting for the next foot to drop. And it just isn't the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I get that way. You probably get that way. And today we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the joy and the peace. We're going to put those two together. Last week we looked at love. And today we're going to look at a passage in Romans, just one verse in Romans, that uses joy and peace in it. It is a treasure chest of a verse that I encourage you to memorize. And I also encourage you to memorize the fruit of the Spirit, which is printed at the top of your bulletin. If you've got a bulletin, we have, you know, one verse in the heading. And then just below that, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's say that together again. We're going to do it every week. Memorize these verses, okay, so that as we say them together, you can say them without looking at them. So let's all say it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is the law. This is the prophet. This is what the whole law should develop in our lives from the inside out. Romans 15:13 is a benediction. It's really kind of wrapping up the teaching part of the book of Romans. And Paul gives this benediction. So let's read it together. Romans 15:13. I'm going to read it a couple of times. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'll read it again. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now this verse is packed with, as you can see, some key words and meanings that help the disciple of Jesus to cultivate in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. And so as we look into this, I pray that this blesses you. It has blessed me richly this week just studying all this. So let's unpack it together. Look at the beginning of the verse. Now, may the God of hope. So first of all, Paul teaches us who God is. Okay, number one on your outline. Who God is. Well, who is God? Well, he tells us the God of hope. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, God is referred to as the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. I read this to a lot of families before funerals of their loved ones. May the God of comfort comfort you in all of your afflictions, so that you then can turn around and comfort other people in their affliction. Right here in chapter 15, look at verse 33 with me. You're in Romans 15, look at verse 33. Now, the God of peace. Look over to chapter 16, verse 20. Should be about on the same page. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So He's called the God of comfort, the God of peace, the God of hope. And what that means is, let's talk about hope for just a moment. Hope, as I tried to teach the kids, is not a Disney-type wishing upon a star. It is not, biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It's not just, I hope things go my way. I want things to go my way. I'm not going to be happy if things don't go my way. That's not biblical hope. That's not what he's talking about here. What hope is the happy anticipation of something good. Okay, you should expect certain things to go well. And a confident expectation of promises not yet fulfilled. That's what hope is. When someone makes a promise and you trust that person, you know it's going to happen. That is biblical hope. And he is the God of hope. And what that means is he is the one who gives that hope. He's the source of that hope. Just as he's the source of comfort. He's the source of peace. So can we say, now look at verse 4 for a moment in chapter 15. Look back to verse 4. This is so important. For whatever was written in earlier times, so who's the apostle? What's the Apostle Paul talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament. The things that were written in earlier times, that was written for our instruction. So that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. How can we hope in the promises of God if we don't know what the promises of God are? And that's why I encourage you continuously to read the Bible. Read the Bible every day. I give you a calendar. If you read it, you will read the Old Testament, which is written for our instruction so that we can trust the promises of God and have biblical hope. And so the Old Testament teaches us that, among other things, something that we emphasize here, God is God. I'm not. He does things sometimes the way I don't understand, but that's okay because he knows better than I do. God is God, and thankfully God is what else? Good. God, the Old Testament teaches God's goodness, and that God is going somewhere. So even this thing that's going wrong in your life or the things that you're struggling with, you can always know that there's a purpose to all of this, and it's going somewhere. God's got a plan, and that gives us what? Hope. So the God of hope. So could we say, do you think that hope, and that's why I think Paul puts it, or it's helpful that Paul puts it in here, because hope is the foundation of, or the root of, joy and peace, the fruit of joy and peace. So, aren't you glad that God, first of all, is a God of hope? Aren't you glad when you're going through trials that you can trust what the Bible says about God, that he is God good and he is going somewhere? Aren't you glad that no matter how messed up the world is, or how messed up you feel the world is, or your life is, or your marriage is, or your family is, or your town is, and no matter how hopeless things may feel or seem at times, that God is the God of hope. Next, Paul goes on to what God does. What does this God of hope do? Verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. So underneath number 2, God fills us with joy and peace. Now, doesn't that show us that when God commands us to do something, he gives us the resources with which to obey his command. You cannot believe on your own. You cannot drum up joy. You cannot just, take a deep breath and then I'll just be at peace. It doesn't work that way. The God of hope must fill us with what is the fruit of the Spirit, with all joy and peace. So we better talk about joy and peace for a moment, too, a couple of the important words here. What are they? Well, joy is the Greek word chara, which is a sister of the Greek word charis, which is grace. So joy and grace are related very closely. So if I've just experienced God's grace, as we prayed earlier, You're grieving. You're afraid of something. You're worried about tomorrow. You're trying to make a decision. And God gives you grace. What do you experience? You're happy about that. You feel better about that. That's what joy is. Joy is delight. And the experience of delight, and I would argue, I don't want to be in a big argument with you because some teachers make a big deal out of this, like there's joy and then there's happiness. All that is a definition of terms. They're the same thing. The differentiation, I think, shouldn't be between joy and happiness. I mean, you can redefine your terms and make and if you're making a point, but to be happy, to delight, is what joy is. The differentiation is, what are you happy about, or what are you trusting in that then when it goes well makes you happy? That's the distinction. But the experience of joy is the same. Well, I'll talk more about that as we continue on. So joy is this happiness. Peace, what is peace? Peace is a contentment, a rest that comes from a sense of order. Peace and order are directly related. When life seems out of order, that's when I'm afraid. That's when I'm anxious. When everything seems to make sense again, then good. It makes sense. It's going to work out. And we experience peace. Now, the three kinds of peace that the Bible talks about are, first of all, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love, joy, peace. That peace encompasses all three. There's peace vertically, make a cross, and then draw a little Celtic or Gaelic circle around where the two meet. Those are the three kinds of peace, the vertical, the horizontal, and then this. The fruit of the Spirit is peace vertically with God. That's one kind of peace. Then when I have peace with God, I'm happy, and I now can experience peace within. And then there's the peace then that can flow from me into the lives of other people. Okay? What Paul's talking about here in Romans 15, 13 is primarily this inner peace. Okay? So the God of hope will fill you with all joy, happiness, and peace. Okay? And we'll come back to those as I kind of describe the imitations of that. Okay? So if we believe then that God is the God of hope, and it's possible for us to be filled with all joy and peace, then number three, what do we do? What we do, Paul says, look at verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? We believe. God has shown us who He is. We have to believe that. If the kids wouldn't have believed that I'd give them a gummy bear, they wouldn't have held out their hand, they wouldn't have received it. So when we believe in God, that's faith. It's the same word as faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Assurance, not wishful thinking, of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, because it hasn't happened yet. Remember when we were studying a couple weeks ago how important Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, the importance of faith. Remember when the woman who was suffering from a hemorrhage for 16 years, she was bent over, she had spent money at all the doctors, she had tried everything. She forced her way through the crowd just to touch the hem of Jesus' cloak. And when she did, power flowed from Him. And Jesus turned around and He said to the woman, "Woman, listen, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Do you think she was experiencing joy too? He said, "Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And so here's a woman, if she wouldn't have believed that Jesus could heal her, she never would have approached Him. So do you see how it's faith that God will use to, and it makes it possible for Him to fill us, the God of hope, to fill us with joy and peace. It's in the believing. It's coming to Jesus. It's touching Him. And then when the power flowed and He healed her, she certainly would have been happy. And she would have been, as Jesus said, she could go now in peace. My life's back in order. My life makes sense again. So we believe. Now, God's goal for us in this whole process that we're looking at, the God of hope filling us with all joy and peace in believing, His goal for us is expressed next in what we experience. What we experience. That, and the word for that is not the typical henna, like in order that. It's a word, it's the word ice, which means like toward. So this is what it's all going toward. Why does the God of hope want to fill His children with joy and peace as they trust Him and believe in Him? Why does He want to do that? Unto this goal, unto this result. That, this is beautiful. Here's what God wants for you. And life's going to be hard, and life is hard, but this is what God wants for you if you are trusting in Him. That you may abound in hope. The word abound here is a word that we've looked at before, and it means to overflow something. Because of farming practices right now, many of the creeks around here are prone to flash flooding, right? A little bit of rain, just the way it's the land's been farmed, will rush into the small irrigation ditches, then into the streams, then into the river, and everything floods over, I mean, very quickly. Well, that overflowing, now it's kind of bad when that happens sometimes in our, you know, in our property. But picture the God of hope filling you with all joy and peace, which is what your heart wants. That's what we live for. That's what we were designed by God to experience. We're not content. We're not satisfied without it. And if the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace as you just trust Him, believe Him, the goal of God for you then is that you would overflow. We need to be praying to God that He would so prune our hearts that we would be prone to flash flooding. That it wouldn't take long when we're going through a hard time to say, okay, this is bad. I need You, Lord. Your word tells me, it's written for my instruction. Your word tells me that You're God, You're Almighty God. You've got this under control. This is not outside of Your ability to control. And I believe that You love me because Your word says so. And I believe that You work all things together for good for me because I love You and I'm called according to Your purpose. It doesn't take long as those things start pouring into our lives, those truths. It shouldn't take long for us to start overflowing with hope. Those are God's promises. I believe they're true. And how does He do it? Look at the end of the verse. By the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why this is the fruit, the outward manifestation of the Spirit's work in my life. God, the God of hope, is filling me with all joy and peace in believing as I trust Him, so that I might just overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit within me. I'm thinking of Philippians chapter 2, just to talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, the Apostle Paul is in prison and he's writing to Christians out in Philippi. And he says, just as you've always obeyed, and not, he says, not as in my presence only. When I was with you, you obeyed, but now much more so in my absence. Listen to what he says. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. I'm in this mess. I'm perplexed. Work it out. Work through it. What does God's Word say about Him? What does He say about His promises to me? Work through it. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For, Paul goes on, it is God who is at work in you, both to work and to will for His good pleasure. So then, do all things, he continues on, without grumbling and complaining. I'll come to that in just a little bit. But first, before we move on, let me quote from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 29. We quote this a lot here as well. I use it from verses 20 and 21. Now listen to this. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. So when things look so bad, I don't see them getting fixed. I cannot imagine how God can fix this. Well, he says, beyond what you can imagine. Just because we can't imagine it doesn't mean he can't do it. So now to him who is able, as the scriptures teach me, to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that I can ask or even think. How? According to the power that works within me. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God wants us to be filled with joy and peace as we trust him, so that we might overflow with hope all the time, no matter how bad it gets. If that's happening, then, hope is underneath number 4. If that is happening in our lives, don't you want that to happen in your life? Doesn't it sound like the good life, the abundant life that Jesus said, I will give you? All right. Then what do we produce? Because it's not primarily, it is not primarily about you and me feeling good. That's not primary. What is it primarily about? That God gets glory. He created us to give him glory, and we give him glory when we experience this. So let's talk about this fruit. What do we produce? And last week, we began, and I'll do this every week, talking about fruitless foliage. Listen, God did not put you on this earth just to serve yourself and to try to do whatever you want, and your only experience of hope is just wanting things to go your way, so that you just enjoy life and everything goes well. That's not why he put us here. He does not want fruitless foliage from us. He does not want us to be that apple tree at this season that you look out there and all you see is leaves. You should see apples by this point. And so, what would the fruitless foliage be of joy and peace? If you and I are supposed to bear this fruit, the fruitless foliage would be grumbling. That's an onomatopoeic word, grumble. Everybody say it together. Just real quiet. Grumble, 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 grumble. That's what it means. It means that. Murmur, it's another onomatopoeic word. It's what we do in our hearts. That's fruitless foliage. There should never be a time, and I'm not trying to be hard on it. We all do it. I do it. My wife says I brood. Brooding is fruitless foliage. I do that. I got that from my dad. My dad would, you're thinking about this and you're thinking about that, and that needs to get done every time you're out. You can't even enjoy your walk in the woods because that tree needs to be cut down. That should be trimmed, and that looks dangerous, and that would burn great in the wood-burning stove. You're always just, and Kim will look at me, my wife Kim, and she'll look at me, and she'll say, you're brooding. Yep, I am. That's fruitless foliage. But then when I take my eyes off down here and I look at the day that God's created and I see the full moon, and I see the sun setting, and all of a sudden I'm rejoicing. and praising God. So that's fruitless foliage. Being irritated all the time and showing it. Being dissatisfied and discontent with my life or my spouse or my family or my home or my job. And I'm not saying you never change things. God will guide you through all that stuff. You'll work it out. But if you're just sitting with this toxic kind of that's just worthless. It's fruitless foliage. The Christian, and you're going to see why it's important that we don't look like that and don't act like that. Man, I was convicted. It was great. So I hope you go home and this week you go, this is fruitless foliage. I hope you're starting to think that way. Then there's also, he doesn't want us to bear fake fruit. How you doing? Oh, great! When you're doing terrible. He doesn't want us to do that either. That's not honest. That doesn't give the other person a chance to be a vessel of grace in my life. I may have to say I'm doing terrible. But I'm not just grumbling and complaining. I'm dissatisfied. I'm just having a hard time. And I really could use somebody to come alongside me and put their arm around me or shake my hand or give me a hug. I could use that right now. But if we're just chipper all the time, that's not what God is after. People can see through that. If you'll never be honest with your response to people and you're just always, oh, good, or good and you, that response just bothers me. Everybody uses it today. Good and you. That didn't answer my question, did it? So the fake fruit of joy would be relying on, depending on, trusting in, believing in wrong things for my sense of well-being and order and happiness. Because when it comes up short, and it will, we all get happy when everything's going great. We have joy when things are going great. It just might not be a fruit of the Spirit. It might be a fruit of my flesh. Picture it this way. All of us as human beings have, you could say, like mini campfires, or I like to say pilot lights. We all have that little pilot light burning all over our flesh with all kinds of fleshly desires, right? If you've received Christ, you've opened up your heart, and Christ has come in, the Holy Spirit lives within you. Now, you have the pilot light, at least, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's in you. The question is, am I going to fan? Which pilot lights am I going to feed with fuel? All my fleshly desires? Bare fruitless foliage or just some fake fruit? Or am I going to fan into flame fuel the pilot light of these fruit of the Spirit so that they might grow in my life? And so trusting in the things of this world to satisfy those pilot lights of my flesh, what that will do, it might work for a little while, but it's going to be short-lived. And then all of a sudden your emotions are going to plummet. And I would say then your testimony is going to be shattered. Because if I'm relating to you and you're like, oh, everything's just wonderful. And then you're happy. And then I see you tomorrow and you're not just sharing your burdens. You're just plain mad at the world and mad at God because things turn south. Then our testimony is ruined. Let's talk about the fake fruit of peace for a moment. Jesus taught a lot about peace. Jesus does not want us to be anxious. It was a big theme in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus said, he just commands us, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Why are you anxious, he would say, about your body as to what you shall put on? Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Don't be anxious. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and God will give you everything that you need. And I'm thinking of John chapter 14. If you are in Romans and you want to go with me and turn back, keep your finger here, go back through the book of Acts into the book of Romans. I mean, the Gospel of John, I'm sorry. And let's look very quickly at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Okay, before we do that, you've got one finger back in Romans. Put this finger here in John 14. Go back a little further to Luke. I'm going to look at a passage about joy first. Now go back to Luke chapter 10. It's a lot of hard work, isn't it? It'll be worth it. Here we go. Luke chapter 10. This is, so good. Jesus had sent out 70 of his disciples two by two, and things went well for them. They had productive ministry, as you're going to see. So look at verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Everything went well for us. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." I mean, it was happening. Things were going exactly the way they should. And Jesus said to them, "Yeah, I saw what was going on. I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And behold, excuse me, as I had promised, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall injure you." Watch verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. I think that's fake fruit. Not because they weren't experiencing happiness, but what made them happy? Look at what Jesus said. Don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, that everything's going your way right now, that things are the way they should be right now. You can be happy about that, be thankful for that, but don't rejoice. That's not the ultimate thing you should be rejoicing about. This is what Jesus is saying. Look what he says next. But rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. That's the big picture. Because sometimes you're going to preach and they're not going to listen. Sometimes you're going to try to cast out a demon and it won't go. Sometimes your prayers are not going to be answered the way you think they should be. Don't rejoice in that when things are, you know, on the up of the roller coaster. Because as soon as they go down, boom. And then at that time, Jesus rejoiced, verse 21. He rejoiced. What's he rejoicing in? That ain't fake fruit. He's rejoicing in this. "Oh, Father, I praise you, the Lord of the heaven and the earth, that you hid these things from wise and intelligent and you revealed them to babes. Yes, Father, it was well-pleasing in your sight." He's just praising God for the ultimate, bigger picture of all this. And so, now go to John chapter 14. So that's joy, fake fruit. Now let's look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus doesn't want us to be anxious. "Believe in God, believe faith, believe in me also. Now here's a promise. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it weren't so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you." This is a promise we can have hope in. "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also." So that is, and then look at verse 27. But there's a fake peace. Look at verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." So the world gives peace. But that's not the fruit of the Spirit. "Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So what does the world's peace look like? You know, social media influencers, and bless them, a lot of them do a lot of good. But I saw one the other day, they were so cheery, My reaction was, nobody can be that happy. Nobody can think it's that funny. You know, it's just not realistic. So I don't think what I was listening to, I know for sure wasn't the fruit of the Spirit, but we can fake joy, we can fake happiness, and I get it. When I'm speaking, I shouldn't be up here falling asleep on the pulpit. I should try to have some energy. If I'm doing my radio program, I want to sound like I'm alive on the other end of the microphone. You know, so it's okay to say, hey, it's appropriate for me to act appropriately in this situation, but it's not the fruit of the Spirit to fake like I'm super happy. And what does the world offer as far as peace? The world offers, don't worry, be happy. This is the philosophy of the world. And I lived in this. I did this for 28 years of my life, so I know it. And I'm assuming some of you know what I'm talking about. But the world comes up with what we would call philosophical constructs. They construct a system of thinking philosophically, or you can come up with a theological construct. You can build a system that puts some kind of order into the way you view things. But if it's not the truth, it's all fake. You may feel temporarily better. You may feel happier. But it's not true. It's going to come crashing down. And so at best, it's temporary. It gives us a false sense of peace, a false sense. I did it. I jumped from this to that. And maybe this will make me happy. 3 weeks later, that doesn't make me happy anymore. Maybe this will make me happy. Maybe this philosophy. Maybe this teacher. Maybe this whoever. And I just was searching back and forth. I could never be happy, and I could never have peace. So at best it's temporary, but it's just a shallow, counterfeit, illusory thing that isn't real. I hope that makes a little bit of sense to you, because what Jesus offers us is the real thing. And you may be here today and you're searching for that real thing. If God is the God of hope, God is able to fill us. He alone is able to fill us with joy and peace in believing as we trust Him, with the goal that we would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If that is all true, then we will bear fruit. We will first experience the fruit. And that's why I said before, you can't fake rejoicing. You've got to have the joy of the Lord in your heart and then express it. I hope you have the joy. I hope you have at least a pilot light of joy in your heart today. This will help us fan it into flame so that we can experience joy. Now, that's fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. But the fruit, as I said last week, the fruit isn't there just to look at. The fruit, when you take the fruit and eat it, it influences, it affects the person who consumes the fruit. And so our fruit is not just that you and I are happy, it's that when we're happy, that affects how we act, what we say, how we relate to people, in a way that will change their lives. In a way that they will say, I like that. I wish I had that. My friend Verl. I don't know, Jeff, if you remember Verl Chiak. He was a friend of mine growing up. You probably don't remember. He led me to Jesus. I was 28 years old. I had fake happiness now and then when everything was going my way. I had fake peace. I don't even know if I had fake peace. I had no peace. That's what drove me to God. Drove me back to God. I had strayed away from Him. And my friend Verl, when I met with him that night up in the cities in a restaurant, he had it. He had joy. He had peace. You know, I thought I was smarter than him and a better basketball player than him, and I had this and I had that. He had what I wanted. And he just very simply told me that I could find that in Jesus. By Jesus standing at the door and knocking, if I just open the door, He'll come into me and live within me. then I too could have that pilot light of the fruit of the Spirit in my heart. And I did. About 3 weeks later, I was so sick of being unhappy, so sick of jumping from here to there and being on that roller coaster. And I just, and I've told you this many times, I was out at Donaldson's Welding and I just said, I don't care anymore. I want what he's got. And I think Jesus has it. And I heard Jesus knocking at the door of my heart and I just opened my heart and he came in. And I've had at least the pilot light burning ever since then. And my point is, he had the fruit within him, but it was the fruit I saw on the outside that led me to Jesus. And that's why you and I can't have fruitless foliage going on in our lives, and we can't have fake fruit. That's not going to convince anybody. So let's ask ourselves a few questions as we kind of wrap this up. What makes you, I've been doing this to myself all week, so I'm just going to talk to you for a minute. What makes you, or when are you sad? Sad. What makes you kind of emotionally go toward depression? What makes you down or grumpy or brooding? Or what? In what situations? In what situations are you just flying high and you get all excited and you're stoked? Ask yourself that question. What drives my emotional roller coaster? Or that has to do with joy. What makes you anxious, fearful, worried, fretting? You got to identify those things. Ask God to help you identify those things. And once you do, and you can see what that fleshly pilot light is in you, then you can ask why. Why does that do it? Why does that do this to me? And if you can identify those things, then you can begin to repent of what is bad, and you can begin to fan into flame the pilot light of true peace and true joy. And you'll then bear more fruit, bear much fruit, that will then affect others and bear more and much fruit in their lives. And that, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 8, for this reason you must bear fruit, that my Father be glorified. And that's what we're here for, is for people to see it. See, this is an apple tree. I can see it because it has apples on it. This is a Christian, because the God of hope has filled them with all joy and peace, because they believe in God. And then God is making their life just overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit living within them. So we do it for our own enjoyment, but we do it also so that God can use us to lead other people to the only place they are ever going to find joy and peace either. So will you bow your heads for a few moments? Did the Holy Spirit... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even give you the last point in the outline. Fruitful fruit. But fruitful fruit. Meaning it's me, but it's also... It bears fruit out there. The fruit of my life is going to be other people seeing it in me. Coming to God. So would you bow your heads? What did the Holy Spirit... Was he working in you as you were... As we're studying this? God loves you. God wants you to experience joy and peace. He's the God of hope. And he will fill you. If you will open up your heart to him, he will fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you might abound, overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.